Hello everyone, and welcome to today's Charity Digital podcast on ContentBot. We're very happy to welcome you for another episode, and we'll tell you everything you need to know about ContentBot and the negative and positive impacts of it in our lives as a content writer, head of partnerships, or even fundraising managers. If you're wondering, still wondering what content bots are, these are a form of generative AI that create content in seconds. You've probably heard of ChatGPT, or maybe of Bard. Those are examples. There are various other platforms that can generate content at overwhelming speed, usually averaging around 20 to 30 seconds to respond. They can also offer complete articles, list of facts, even poems. Obviously, this content bot can offer huge benefit to charities, but they also pose substantial risks, not just in terms of your organization, but in terms of wider social problems they create and ethics as well. So charities really need to practice caution. And basically, that's what we're going to discuss as well today. And I'm joined by our esteemed guest at Charity Digital Content, the whole of the content team, Ewan Mark, Laura Stanley and Georgie Sparling.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
hello, you all three. And I bet you have spent loads of the last few months writing about and arguing about content bots, as content is your bread and butter. So basically, we're going to explore the benefits and the drawbacks, the social, political, ethical concerns and consequences of using content bots, and I'll dive straight in. As you can hear, this introduction wasn't written by content bot, it was written by me. but as an easy start, can you discuss the positive and negatives of content bots? And I guess I can start maybe with you, Ewan.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that a lot of the positives and negatives are intertwined, in that any positive is met by a negative. So if you look at, for, I might cover a lot of ground quite quickly here, but like in the sense of stepping on other people's potential research, which I tend to do. But like, for example, they're very fast, but you waste a lot of time by editing. So it seems particularly fast, and it is particularly fast, but almost immediately you're hit by this other element. You know, they're trustworthy in that they don't miss deadlines, but then they break down in terms of reliability and, you know, the fact that they're quite out of date, which has been quite oft remarked, but not really many people aren't paying attention to that. So I think is it 2 years out of date or something similar to that? A lot of the content they use is quite significantly outdated. And again, not much conversation about that, which strikes me as just odd, because if I relied on 2 year old data to talk about artificial intelligence, I would be relying on completely useless information. That's what content bots do. Tonally consistent, another fact, but ultimately the tone isn't particularly good. So it's verbose, it's dull, and generally, you know. So I think that's kind of where people are so heavily focusing on the positives, in my opinion, and really kind of downplaying the negatives. And a lot of that, I think, it'll be quite interesting, this conversation, because you are talking to content people, and content people are, I mean, personally, I take these things really seriously. I take the written language really seriously. I like sharp sentences, strong sentences. I like information conveyed in strong ways, and basically pride myself on the ability to do that. And I think that's why we take content bots might have a bit more frustration than your average person, because ultimately there is the additional point that we see it. We see if a freelancer that works for us was to send me an article that had been written by a content bot, I would notice it. If you have done that and I haven't noticed it, you shouldn't tell me, because you know, that's breaking a contract. But the point is that these things are important, and they're not often seen by a lot of people. Might not notice them. They might not notice the difference between, for example, a human writer and a content bot. But a lot of content people do, and that quality is you can't. The AI can't achieve that. Not yet. Maybe in the future, I don't know, but it's unlikely, because they don't have two things. They constantly rely on pre-existing information, whereas humans, in order to write effectively, add their own opinions. They add their own substance and value. And secondly, I mean, they broadly just can't have that spontaneity that a lot of humans have. I mean, we did a video about it, and the first thing we did was make a human throw a ball in another human's face. That might not be the most effective way to prove a point, but ultimately it proves that when you are writing some of the best writing, if you look particularly at prose and poetry over the years, has always been the unexpected, the element of surprise, the element that a sentence or a paragraph or a passage is taking you down a route that you didn't expect. Content bots can't do that. And in fact, they're guided and created so that they can't do that. So I think my overriding point, and I'll pass on now, is just that quality is still the most important thing in all content, and AI cannot achieve that. No matter how quick or how efficient it might seem, it's not producing what you should want it to produce, and that's at the minute the bottom line.
I agree. I think it seems like a really short-term solution or short-term thinking, because it's not regulated yet. We don't know the impacts of what it'll have. I think there was a Senate hearing with the creator of ChatGPT last week, or at some point recently, and they said that someone on the Senate hearing was saying we've you know, the horse has bolted on social media, but we need to make sure that we don't do that again with AI. So there's a lot of calls for regulation already, so we don't know what this is going to look like in the future. Plus, are we not going to get to a stage where AI is like regurgitating its own information? So if that's where it's scraping stuff from, so I don't really know. I think that I can see why people do like it. Like, there's people saying that it can like defy writer's block, because you've got like a sentence that you need to come up with, and it just gives you that starting point. It is quick, it is easy, but I agree, like, every single positive for me is outweighed by a negative. I like, to the point of like, when I was researching this podcast, I was like, I don't like AI, because I just think
very nuanced opinion.
Really nuanced. I'm kind of coming strong. I think it's derivative. I think it's unoriginal. It needs editing. It needs fact checking. I get really worried by people saying they use it as Google, because The Guardian released an article saying that they had someone get in touch with them saying, oh, where can we find this article? I've been looking for it all over your website, and it didn't exist. And the journalist actually worked for The Guardian, and they were saying, well, it sounds like it's something I would write, and they couldn't find it. And it wasn't an article. And I think I think there's not enough people looking at it critically at the moment, because it is so, like, the benefits are there. Like, people being like, it's a life hack, you can use this to optimize your productivity. But actually, I think we need to be a bit more long-term thinking about AI. That's my positives and negatives.
Definitely. And you, Josie?
I agree. I think people kind of think the pros of AI include that it's very fast, but yeah, it comes down to quantity doesn't equal quality, and AI can't give you a unique perspective. Like, it's not thinking for itself. It's just being programmed to do what it does, and is never going to say something unique. And I think that point about like referencing itself is also really important, because at some point, if it goes down the same path, and it's written, there's a lot of content, long form content written by AI, eventually it's just going to be cannibalistic, basically. And that's just not good. Like, it's just not going to produce good work. I think if we did that, then no one would read what we'd done.
Exactly.
And it also kind of creates like an echo chamber of just the same things. It's not unique, it's not like valuable, really. And also, yeah, that also goes into like misinformation and stuff like that, which I'm sure we'll discuss later. And also, I think a lot of people who I've spoken to about AI are using it, like content bots specifically, they're using it in like a way to help their own writing. So, for example, things like predictive text and like Grammarly, they're both AI. Which I'm kind of on the fence about, because in theory, yeah, that doesn't really, that might not be a problem, because it's helping people express themselves. But I still think, I think it's still using the work of other people to do that. And I think it's a skill that people have the ability to learn. And if, say, you're a manager recommending that people use it, you could just pay a freelancer to teach your team to do those things. And like, there are ways to like use human skills rather than just get a quick fix and stuff like that. So yeah,
I think some things aren't meant to be quick.
Yeah,
and that's what I sort of get a bit of beef about. I just had beef on this podcast, that's nice. But yeah, I just think like there are real skills out there, and as you say, you learn them. Like as a content team, I think we're learning every day. Every day is a school day, but also like you pick up new skills. I'm just reiterating Josie's point, but yeah, Josie's right.
I mean, on something Josie mentioned, I think, and Laura touched on it as well, is the, so with Wikipedia, right, we see wikis as everyone contributing to something and growing a common knowledge system, and it gives you this information. And commonly, I remember at uni, everyone was like, you can't use Wikipedia for information, and everyone, you know, consequently used Wikipedia for information. Yeah. But the interesting thing is the people who are using the AI for searching and for information are basically doing the same thing. They're looking at a conglomeration of facts across search engines that has been created, some false, some real, written by anyone writing a blog, basically up to Microsoft or whatever, or us. Anyway, and they use all that information. But the difference is Wikipedia checks their facts.
Yeah, I was going to say, Wikipedia is controlled.
So they're controlled. And the lack of regulation with AI is kind of the problem. I think the whole thing, and I will get to this, the cannibalistic thing I think was really important, because you are, beyond anything else, it's just a really, the fact is will be very few additional facts added comparatively to now. Very little additional information compared to now. But also the dullness of the internet is going to be a serious problem. Everything you search is going to be AI manufactured. This is a bit dystopian. This isn't necessarily in the immediate future, but if over reliance on it could lead to that basic, like, boring content across the board, and everything manufactured in this exact same way. And it just doesn't see that the need to go quickly, like Laura said, just the benefits are so few in that sense, in terms of our general consumption of content, the general information economy and everything else. And I just, the argument, those sides of the arguments, the ones we've mentioned here, are just completely overridden by someone on LinkedIn going, you have no idea of the power of AI yet, use these prompts. And I look at them and I go, well, these prompts aren't actually that good. And and the fact is, the fact you think they're good is problem. Matic. The way I would argue, AI said that word for me.
I would argue problem. Maybe a couple of things. With obviously our listeners are usually charity professionals who don't have loads of time and don't have loads of resources. So wouldn't it be a good tool? I mean, I know at Charity Digital we've been using ChatGPT mainly for email subjects and email subjects sort of suggestions, and seeing which one will work best. And obviously, I have to say that ChatGPT made some interesting suggestions that then resulted in good open rate. Yeah. So, do you reckon that maybe in the interest of time, if we take a look at marketing manager or fundraising manager, would that be maybe one tool as part of other tools that could be relevant?
Yeah. I think that I was just going to say, on a simple level, that was why I kind of referenced when I meant content team, you're in for a bit of a, you know, because your content team are the people who should hold these high content standards for themselves, not for anyone else. And they should want to produce original content, high quality content, value adding content, which is not the purpose of AI. That's not what AI achieves. That's the conflation between the two. When you've got, on the one hand, what you mentioned there, which I fully agree with and support, use it to streamline comms support or stuff like that. Still be aware of its shortcomings and the fact you need to check everything, but nothing wrong with that. But on the other hand, if you're talking about adding value, which should be a sole purpose of a content team, not a sole purpose, but a core value of a content team is to add value, relying on that cannot achieve that. So it's a means versus ends debate.
Like, everyone's got their favorite website that they like to consume content from, right? And if that content like tanks, you will leave that website. Content and quality is like really it just is important. It's a lot more linked to things.
I'm sure we'll get onto the ethical concerns later, but when we talked about misinformation, Josie touched on it, and I'm sure we will talk about it, but when you're talking to your service users or you're trying to give people information about causes, emissions, activism, whatever it is your charity represents, you need to be accurate. You need to be in date, and you also need to be cautious and careful about the wording you use. So you have a far greater responsibility to your audience than you would otherwise on just comms. Have AI write your emails for you. Do that if that's your bag. But you know, how long does an email take to write? But anyway, at the same time, the point, not emails, comms emails, I meant personal emails. But yeah, the simple fact is content teams need to be careful, and that caution is one of the core values that I think they should display.
I think that Lisa's right in that there are things that AI are good for, and I think email subject lines probably is one of those things, because it can be, like, I don't know, tedious, and it's not exactly, it's creative, but it is more formulaic. Even when you're coming up with them yourself, right, you're thinking about what worked before and what didn't work, and it's more data driven, I think. So I think that does make sense to use it for that. And I think my problem with it, and I saw I saw a tweet, but it was like, why are we not automating manual tasks, but we're automating the stuff that's creative and fun? Everyone who's gone into content writing is doing so because they like writing and also, you know, want to add value and want to share information, and add they're value. Doing, yeah.
I think that's the key thing that AI at the moment is not, because, like you said, is rehashing content that's already existing and doing so maybe in a clinical manner. And I know we've covered a few of the practical issues. Do you have some specific practical issues with regards to our charity audience that might be listening, and maybe the risk potentially around litigation? I know many of you referenced to the fact that people trust charities and trust what the content that's on the charity website, so there might be some practical issues there using content bots to create that.
I think charities want to be really personal, don't they? We've always been chasing the authentic, so I think if it comes out, I think it could be a reputational risk. That a lot of your stuff is AI generated, I think it'll make it feel really impersonal and not great. So that's a big one for me. I don't know about how you guys feel.
A big one for me is the misinformation thing. And I think as a charity that is really important, because part of a point of a charity is to benefit the public, and misinformation damages the public. The World Health Organization says that infodemics and misinformation negatively affect people's health behaviors, for example mental health, vaccine hesitancy, and can delay the provision of healthcare, and increases hateful and divisive rhetoric. So it's just not beneficial for the public to use information that you haven't checked and do that in a systematic way, just to rely on those kind of processes. The other thing to mention is that misinformation isn't new. Like, it's always been a thing since news has begun. But I think these ways of communicating globally and using technologies that aren't tried and tested and kind of, I can't think of the word. using these technologies that we can't verify the facts they come up with, I think that is a reasonable thing to be worried about and to be cautious of when you're kind of spreading information.
I think the litigation point isn't really fully formed, only because there is no regulation. You can't have much litigation when there's very little regulation. I mean, Italy banned it, ChatGPT,
really?
And then they unbanned it.
Yeah.
So as Laura mentioned earlier, there's been a massive debate in the Senate, I believe, and in American politics generally on the regulation. And they're trying to fast forward it. There's question marks over whether it can be regulated, i.e. it moves at such pace that any regulation can be undermined by the tech itself, which we've seen in multiple fields. It's an ongoing debate about tech regulation, because ultimately governments are so... cumbersome at times, and they just can't really keep up with that. That's a question mark for governments, really, to be honest. But I think like stuff like there is the, you're opening yourself up to reputational damage, as mentioned before, by producing misinformation or outdated information or just poor quality information or information that doesn't help your service users. And there's copyright intrusions implicit within that if you don't check your work properly, and slander, you know, things like that. I mean, that's a you're opening yourselves up to, you know, you might be saying things about people that just aren't true, and a lack of rigor in terms of checking everything would leave you open to that stuff. And rightly so, you know, if you're not going to practice good methods. I think other things like on practical issues, I mean, about the misinformation is when it produces things that are fed into it. One of the arguments is that ideally you could actually kind of tailor the things fed into it, you know, so you could reduce bias, for example. So we know that it's introduced bias. I mean, an image was produced recently, it's something like the, was asked, what, just pictures of the perfect man and woman or something like that. And they were both white, I believe. And they were also ripped to, like horrific standards. I mean, what that does in terms of race, in terms of body standards and image and everything like that is obviously hugely problematic, and all the other things that it carries with that. But then everyone says, no, but you can just tailor the information that you put into the machine to create a sense of fairness and equity. But then you're also, then there's going to be, that raises additional questions, as we do right now, over free speech, about freedom of information, about who's making the decisions, most importantly. So who is defining the information that we're going to receive en masse? That would now, at the minute, with Wikipedia, you're talking about an open forum, checked and regulated by people who are quite independent and transparent. If you look at a content bot, you have five people maybe sitting in a room who decide now what we're going to consume en masse as a population of billions of people who use the internet. I mean, that's obviously a problem and obviously a moral hazard, but no one seems to be talking.
The whole algorithm?
Well, I'm not sure it's five people. I may have exaggerated a bit. but what I'm suggesting is that is a hypothetical situation that we could be leaning into, in that there's very little transparency on what goes in. I mean, look at SEO right now with search engines. We don't know the algorithm. We don't know how it works. That's not the worst thing in the world. We don't know Bing's algorithm. We don't know, I don't think we do, but we don't know any of them. But the point is that the way information is fed to us seems relatively reliable in the sense, but maybe it's just what we're used to. But with that, if everyone starts relying on content bots, which does seem to be creeping up, I mean, we already know loads of people who do. I would say I've used them for that. I have like searched facts. I'm getting stares across the room, but I have searched because it's quicker. And this is, I would never use it for something, and I would always fact check myself, but I would never... Ultimately, that's why...
Solely rely on...
Yeah, I would never solely rely on it. But the truth is, for a lot of the content I write, I rely on top search engines anyway, i.e. the top...
The first page,
yeah. Which is the common theme, and statistically 90%+ of people are going to rely on the first... what do you call the first one or whatever. The point I was making more was that the choice of the algorithm, if everyone's depending on it, what you're feeding into that, which is how an AI system works, the data that's fed, is... You know, that's a choice that could really dictate the information we receive. And the fact that there's little transparency over that. I mean, I don't know the degree of transparency. It's not been talked about. But again, that's kind of the point that baffles me a little bit with all this, is the lack of transparency generally, but also the lack of focus on any of it. Like, again, it goes back to these LinkedIn posts I keep seeing about, you have no idea of the potential of AI. And A, the tone is so condescending. I wish AI had written it.
Well, it's written by AI, probably. Yeah.
But more importantly, just like the moral conundrums, the ethical and practical issues that are raised are just being sidelined to such a degree that it's really strange. And even like top quality organizations, news organizations, don't seem to really be talking about it enough. It's also all about the potential of AI. And I just feel like we're going into a mistake we've made so often in the past that has caused quite real world harm. And I'm not suggesting that AI will yet in various ways, but social media, we watch the harm it caused in so many ways without any effective regulation of the platforms themselves, allowing them to cause this damage by essential inaction. And it just feels like we know this is happening again, and it's pretty clear that this is going to cause problems, and everyone's just going to sit on their laurels again. And it just feels a bit frustrating, you know?
It's really frustrating, especially like trawling LinkedIn. at the moment. Oh, it's LinkedIn really is frustrating. Terrible. I'm getting...
Not as a whole, it's fine. Just for, sorry, don't want to slander LinkedIn. I like LinkedIn, but for AI it is...
It was just a lot of people talking about it, obviously, because it's really topical. That's why we're doing a podcast on it. Oh. But it's just, yeah, as you say, a lot of people being like, here's a way to be more productive. Hacks for ChatGPT, and it's all that, but there's no nuance to it.
And the quality debate is so completely relegated. Yeah, in this. But you know, not everyone says the productive thing. I've probably seen the same one, largely because Laura sent it to me.
I was so angry.
I mean, the quality thing is in that it's like this is how to be more productive and produce more content. But the production of more content is never going to be the goal. As a team, a content team, we are never going, look how many words we produce this week, because we can always produce more words, you know, like that's cool.
Words.
That's a Hamlet reference, which AI wouldn't do. We can always produce more words, but we're never gonna. Well, the point we focus on is quality as much as quantity. Quantity has to be an issue, but we want to produce a certain amount of high quality articles, and that's the goal. And it just seems like the quality is just a non-issue on a subject matter that is 95% about quality. Yeah. So I just think we need to prioritise quality and have that as... It's not even about prioritising, just have that as part of a debate as we would, because we know that content is always at the behest of quality and should be, you know?
Yeah, I think as well it's interesting to think of it as part of a trend I'm kind of just formulating my thoughts on this, so bear with me, but I think it's like... a trend of how content is viewed online and how there's like a one-to-one relationship between how much content is produced and kind of the economic value of that.
Yeah.
So I think, for example, that AI perfect man, perfect woman thing is a good example that, for example, like the whole idea of influence producing content, which is like photographs of people and beautiful people and stuff like that. That has already begun to form what we view as the perfect man and woman, and that's all based on like a specific algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, yeah. So I think this whole AI thing and the whole idea of thinking quantity is the goal, and like at any cost, and that will just give us more money. I think that's all part of a trend.
I think that's really true.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Obviously, OpenAI was created was a foundation, so it was a non-profit, and now being it's still a non-profit with profit capped. But obviously, it's we could still argue it has a US-based bias, for instance, and we could also question the members of who is behind the OpenAI Foundation. So I think there's a lot of trend element to the AI conversation. And I know obviously that charities need to listen to these trends and need to decide whether that's something they need to jump on the bandwagon whether this is something that they need a little bit more reflection and time, and then just see how it benefits them, because ultimately it's about how can technology benefit you, save you time and effort in the sort of small and mundane task, and enable you to focus on the quality, on the qualitative output, whether that's providing better service or more service to the beneficiaries, or creating qualitative content, images, etc. So obviously my following question would be, should charities use content bots and maybe by extension AI tools for their day-to-day activities?
I think we wouldn't really marry those two. Like, content bots are a part of AI. I think AI is effective for charities. I mean, chatbots, I think, is a great way. I mean, even stuff like the response on I don't know what you call them, but Echo and Siri and what are they called?
Yes.
Whatever those are called. People have created a fundraising tool. I can't remember the charity, but the several charities have done it. But there was one example where they actually, a service user became part of the conversation, and it was a great fundraising tool. So there's loads of AI uses that are great for charities. Content bots, content bots have their uses, as we've said. I think we have got a little bit waylaid. Again, we are the content team, so we have thoughts on this. But I think there's uses as prompts, as quick information that doesn't need to be perfect, but definitely as a prompt in your writing to overcome writer's block, to think about the way you might function a sentence, or to get a descriptor of, if you wanted to write about Twitter, for example, to get a descriptor of Twitter very quickly, you could go to a content bot and say, describe Twitter for me, and look at the words, and there might be a couple of words that stick out, and that can formulate. So use it in tandem with your writing in very small ways. And I think it's great. And I think charity should do that. But I think that's the limitations. And one of the problems is that, and AI can be used in various other ways, and I think ethically so as well. I think one of the limitations, though, that we're talking about here, and sorry if I'm going on a bit, but it's that you can't stop people using it in the in a sort of a bad faith, you know, way, where they're using it just to reproduce articles because they can. And, you know, all the moral hazards, all the ethical questions that raises are just put to one side. I think it's a great tool that's going to be used in a bad way, because our economy now, our society now, is all about the amount, the quantity you produce, and the amount of attention you can get, and so on and so forth. It's a more damning social problem, which, I mean, we can't solve here, but, you know, that's a very fair point. Charities can use it ethically, and I think the one thing we can do, sorry Lisa to interrupt, the one thing we can do is we can all hold ourselves to account and all use it in a way that we find ethical, or at least, you know, within the sort of confines of our own ethical positions.
Yeah, absolutely. And as an example, obviously many of you listening to us may have spent countless nights on bid writing, and there are elements of bid writing that could certainly lend themselves to content bot, if you just imagine for a second that everybody decides to submit the whole bit writing and bids to ChatGPT, the funder might find themselves with
bored as well,
quite bored, and they might find themselves with 10 applications that are all feeling and looking the same, because people would have used a content bot to do them. That said, they can certainly help with finding your words sometimes, and filling some boring bits. But what is really important is the qualitative element of all these long pieces of content that you're putting together. Laura, you wanted to add?
Oh no, I agree. I was on my notes for this question. I said no, Charity should not use it, but. I'll explain my thinking. So I do think everything is changing so quickly, so that to an extent charities can afford to drag their feet a little bit on it, because we're not in the final version. It's untested, it's unregulated. I don't think you need to jump into anything right now. However, it won't be, you can't avoid it entirely, as Johan says, and as Lisa says, and there are uses for it. So it's definitely worth staying up to date with what's happening in the air, in like AI all the time. But there is stuff like A/B testing or email subject testing that can be like really helpful for. Some stuff can be good, but I basically don't think everyone should be churning out content from ChatGPT all the time. Also, I would just like to say, I think you should work as a content team. I think you should work with your content team to do it as well, because I think content teams right now are quite scared. So I think work, especially also they're in control of your content. So just make sure that everyone's I think it's, as Lisa was saying earlier, and Johan actually, it's more important than ever to be transparent about how you're using it, because then you're not, someone's using it and you don't know, then that they risk your reputation and you won't,
sorry to jump in, but I absolutely agree with that. And there is this thing of a lack of trust within a content team. I mean, we are broadly have talked about, we haven't actually done any training, we should do something on this, but that's not for the listeners. but it is interesting, because I have a friend, I'm not going to say their name, but they used ChatGPT, and no one realized how quick, everyone was praising them for being such a quick writer, you know, and they're from the States, like it's all fine, but it's just interesting, because I was very offended by that, because people were going, wow, you really turn things around so quickly, you're an incredibly quick writer, how'd you get in? And they were just kind of going, this is easy, and it buys them time to chill in the afternoon or whatever. And so I think as a team you do have to maybe set the boundaries of use for content, and then obviously just trust that you're
your people and your employees are going to mm-hmm. do it. But sorry to jump
and
in
value
there.
Storytelling as well, like value it. Like I think working, like I used to work in communications, and like the least valued, the one of the big complaints that always used to come through was that the comms team were never listened to. So just listen to your content teams, really. As I would say, as a guy.
That's basically very... more power for content teams is what we're...
Absolutely. And Josie, you
wanted
to maybe add another point?
Yeah, I basically agree with everything that's been said. And I think it comes down... The technology itself isn't bad, but it just comes down to the decisions that humans mm-hmm. make mm-hmm. with using
Amen.
It.
Yeah,
and I think it's also about people taking responsibility for their own use and... Yeah, just not thinking like it's for any reason, just use it.
I know what you
just
mean.
Just using it
yeah.
for any reason, it doesn't matter what the cost is. Like, yeah, take responsibility yeah, exactly. yes, for your exactly. use of it. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's a bit like the climate change thing. It's not magic, right?
That, yeah.
It has an impact.
That's what we say. We always saying it's not, the tech is not ever the problem. I mean, objectively, tech is beyond good or evil, right? Like, you can't really attribute a moral standing to tech.
No.
But it's about the way humans use it. And the truth is, this isn't... it's not immoral to churn out loads of content, but you're just really boring and dry and you're creating a dry world.
Because it might be, it actually is, and you know, bouncing off you were saying, Johan, that content bots actually create content that people... think that they want to read and think that they want to agree with, and a human will not necessarily write something that people agree with, and that is what will create debate, discussion, reflection, and what people get people to start thinking about the problem, which obviously charities want that to happen, want a discussion to happen, want some influence to be built around the content that they write and the quality of the content that they write in order to provoke a debate in society and influence changing in law, for instance. So that, to me, hearing my dear colleague from the content team, it seems like what is the key issue when using content bot is that you're missing that human element that would make people think and that will make people reflect and ask questions and change their view of the world because as you've all said, because it's an echo chamber, the view of the world gets smaller and smaller the more people are using content bot in order to do to create content.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can I just add to that? That I think the role of charities, the content that charities produce is a lot of the time to represent what their beneficiaries are experiencing and what is needed. And I think it's an opportunity to actually get their voices heard and really represent that rather than just ask an AI to just churn something out. That's not really what it's about. Like, that's not what the purpose is. Like, I think coming back to why you're doing what you're doing is a really good way of navigating how you're using it.
Absolutely. Well, I think this is a great conversation that we've just had. Thank you very much to my three esteemed colleagues from the content team.
Thank you for having us.
And we hope that you enjoyed our discussion, that it will hopefully make you, that will hopefully get you inspired on maybe trying out some content bot for some specific things. But as Josie, Johan and Laura said, keep quality and your mission at the heart of everything that you do. And make sure that you get... and ensure that the trends, they follow the trends, but not all of them, because they're not all good.
Great lines there.
You can definitely tell that we're not generated by AI. But we hope you have a lovely week, and we're looking forward to you joining us for our next podcast in 2 weeks' time. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this Charity Digital podcast. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are those of the speakers and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Charity Digital. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. Thanks for listening.